As I was looking over notes for lesson this morning, I had decided to talk about fatherhood. Since this has been designated as Father's Day, I talked about mothers on Mother's Day, so I thought we would talk about some things regarding fatherhood. But I read a piece from an electronic publication that I get called Patriot Post. They just sort of jumped out at me. It was written in 1778 by John Adams. This is just a partial quote. But he said, "The foundation of national morality must be laid in private families. In vain are schools, academies, and universities instituted if loose principles and licentious habits are impressed upon children in their earliest years. The vices and examples of the parents cannot be concealed from the children." This principle, or principles we're going to talk about, have been recognized for ages, but this just sort of jumped out at me, and the scripture that was listed there was Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, where it says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. In Psalms 127, just 5 verses, this is recorded. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth the beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." The word father is simply a man who begets. That's one definition. But it's also one who raises or nurtures a child. A father is a male parent. To acknowledge responsibility is another definition of the word father, according to Webster's and other sources. We read in Psalms 127, verse 3, about fatherhood. But I want to read it from the one version translated by Ronald Knox. He said, "Fatherhood itself is the Lord's gift. The fruitful womb is a reward that comes from Him." I like that translation of that particular verse. Set within context of declaring prosperity to those who labor within the walls erected by the Lord is the declaration of the blessing of fatherhood. With every gift God gives comes great responsibility to care for that which we have been given. We understand that principle in the physical realm. We're given a gift, a very special gift. We care for it. We lovingly care for it. That's the idea. Children are a gift from God. God gives to each a relationship, whether child to father or father to children. It is designed and ordained of God. As we observe verses 1 through 3 of our text, we learn the vanity of refusing to allow God to direct and govern these relationships. Obviously, as God has given us the ability to produce children, He has given to us the responsibility of caring for, rearing those children, as we're going to talk about as we continue further in our study. And so as you think about fatherhood, understand that God is the Father of all. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 6, Paul said, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Father has authority. It is inherent in the word itself. One submitting to his authority are those who are in his house. demonstrated fatherhood. We're not going to go into detail on these passages, but in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, shows that the Father provided for those who were in His house. When He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And as He continues through this, in verse 30, He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? God provides. He's our Father. God sacrificed for His creation. In John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did God sacrifice for us, He has instructed us. In John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, He shall testify of me. God sent the Holy Spirit to inspire these men whom He selected, and they would testify of Him. And as Peter writes concerning this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He has instructed us in His Word. He's given us a name. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is our salvation any other, but there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's given us a name, His name. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. 2 Peter 1 to verse 4, whereby given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. We belong to God. He is our Father. We have that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a demonstration of fatherhood from the divine standpoint. Understand that God designed the family. In the family, each member has a role. The role of fatherhood carries great responsibilities. It is an honorable position. It is given by God as head of family. In regard to procreation, it is the father who originates life. The father plants seed. We understand that process. But the origin, bringing forth life, is not the end of responsibility. It is the beginning of responsibilities. Remember, in the definition, father is one who nurtures a child. Involved in the word father, inherent in it is the idea of responsibilities. He has a responsibility to love, provide, and protect. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31, there the Bible says, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that you went until you came into this place. God bore them. He took care of them. He loved them. He provided for them. He protected them. Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. A father is concerned about the feelings of his family, if he is what he ought to be. He loves deeply. He is compassionate. He also must train and educate. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Did you understand that grandparents have a role in this? That's what he said. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. This is a grandfather teaching his grandchildren. You remember, well, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Train and educate. We place a great deal of emphasis on the secular education of our children. We want them to excel in school, to get a good education. And nothing wrong with that. But when we place a greater emphasis on the secular education than we do the spiritual education, fathers are negligent in their responsibility. They have the responsibility to discipline and instruct. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The point that Solomon made is that fathers must discipline children and do that early. In fact, I think it was on Jeopardy. The word betime came up. That's something, the word we don't use very often. The word betime means speedily, rising before the dawn. And it says, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Immediately. You don't wait till sometime later after the child has forgotten what they've done to correct them, to instruct them. You do it immediately. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Withhold not correction from the child. It's Proverbs 23, verse 13. Now listen to this last part of this verse. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Understand, this is not talking about beating from a standpoint of making them bloody or injuring them in some way. We're talking about a good sound, what we used to call a good sound whipping, like taking the switch. And sometimes it may even raise wealth. But the point is that the father has this responsibility. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We don't provoke children to wrath. We don't do this discipline just to make them mad. In fact, I've seen some parents who did just enough discipline to make children mad. I can remember well when my dad would tell me, and I told my children, I can give you another one to make you glad. Fathers have a very serious obligation. He's not domineering. He's not a tyrant. But he's simply accepting his God-given role, his responsibility. He is upholding and honoring that honorable position that God has placed him in. And in so many instances, this is not done. Serious obligation. Verse 7, chapter 5, and verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. A very serious, sober obligation laid upon fathers. Fathers are to be honored and respected. And so we ask the question, on what basis do we establish this respect and honor? God, as Father, obviously is a source of and determines man's nature. Establishing regard for creation. We understand that as a result of that, we recognize a creator. This is embedded in the very nature of God's creation. We acknowledge the Father as part of us, and we part of them. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. This is what is right. Fathers have authority. They are given this authority by God. And as the authority, they command and demand respect. Do you understand that in the Old Testament, fathers had almost unlimited power over family? There's a passage in Exodus chapter 21, verse 7. It illustrates this to some degree. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maid servant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. There's a lot involved in this. But basically, this illustrates to us that in the Old Testament, a man could indeed sell his daughter as a maid servant. Could sell her into slavery. That's a little bit different from what fathers do today. They give their daughters away in marriage. Under the old law, fathers had that option. In fact, a rebellious child could be stoned. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Now you notice in this that not only does the father have the responsibility, the mother does too. We're talking specifically about fathers, but here he talks about the voice of his father and the voice of his mother. And then when they have chastened him, mothers and fathers have responsibility, and he will not hearken to them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Here's the result. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This would be an example to others. When this rebellious child would not change. Let's put to death. In regard to all Israel hearing and fearing, when our youngest son was in sixth grade, teachers had problems with him. We had problems with him. Wouldn't get his homework. Sometimes he'd get it, he wouldn't turn it in. Stack it up under his desk. We never have figured out why. He don't even know why now. But I went to talk to the teachers, and I tried to get them to discipline. Use a paddle on him. Use a belt on him. No, we can't do that. It just so happened my office, church building, was just across the street from school. I told the teacher, I said, well, if you won't do it, call me and I'll do it. I'll do it in front of the whole class. It'd not only do him good, it'd do the whole class good. But you know the end of the story. It didn't happen. They wouldn't allow it. But it would have been good for him and good for others. That's what the point here in this passage. All Israel shall hear and fear. You remember what happened when Ananias and Sapphira were killed? Fear fell on all those that heard it. When punishment is meted out speedily and properly, it does good. Now, yes, I know it can be meted out improperly. It can be done for spite, for many other reasons. And believe me, children know it. They know when it's done properly and when it's done improperly. But fathers are the ones who are charged with this responsibility. They are to be honored and respected when they give commands. It is commanded in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Remember, we read that earlier from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. Proverbs 23, verse 2, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Listen to your parents. Honor and respect them. Respect is critical to our spiritual well-being. It is ordained by God. Violation of this respect brings sin and separation. Failing to honor and respect our fathers reveals a lack of character and integrity. Proverbs 15 and verse 5 said, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In chapter 19 and verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. You see, the problem we have with young people today is not new. It's been going on for a long, long time. In fact, it began in the beginning of time. But the fact that it has been going on all these years does not change the fact that fathers have this responsibility. It's ordained by God. When respect is not there, it robs us of joys and blessings, both physical and spiritual. Under the Old Testament, you remember the birthright went to the oldest. Due to Reuben's sin, the birthright was given to Joseph, but it was designed to be to the oldest son, Genesis 35:22. It came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. This sin of Reuben resulted in his not receiving the birthright. Genesis 49:3 says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Here's the reason. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. As a result of sin, the birthright was not given to Reuben. Inheritance comes from the father. Proverbs 19:14. Here, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. We understand that we as parents have responsibility to care for, provide for our children. What we leave them is a result of our labor and our work. But the primary thing we need to leave our children is a spiritual grounding in the faith. This respect that's critical to spiritual well-being. It brings wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 4:1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. You understand he's talking about wisdom here. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Wisdom is personified here, and the female gender is used in reference to it. She, that is wisdom, is thy life. We need to honor and respect parents. But parents need to earn this honor and respect. The ability to esteem earthly fathers properly is probably commensurate with recognition of God as our Father, the Father's Spirit, and our willingness to submit to His authority. Listen, Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they, that is our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Chastisement, discipline, is not fun. Not meant to be fun. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Discipline, if done correctly, will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so we learn about this from our Father in heaven. The respect that is critical to our spiritual well-being begins with respect for God as our Father. Understand this relationship with a father endures. This bond that is established is stronger than pains of emotion. A bond broken by rebellion of the child, yet the love of a father continues to hope and pray for union. You remember the prodigal son. Talk about that in just a moment. Absalom and David is an example in 2 Samuel. Absalom lifted up with pride. He rebelled and established himself upon his father's throne. He was an enemy of David and almost succeeded in taking his father's throne. But remember what David said when Absalom was killed? My son, if only I had died in your place. 1 Samuel 18, verse 33. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Even though Absalom rebelled and tried to take David's throne, David still was concerned about his son, loved him, wanted him to do what was right. The father of the prodigal son illustrates a father's love for his son. I think probably we all recognize this is an illustration of God's love for his creation, for mankind in general. He recognized the son was a free moral agent. This is found in Luke chapter 15. When he said, I want what's mine. Give me my inheritance. So he gave it to him. He recognized his son had the ability to choose for himself. Gave him what was his and allowed him to go. To use his own judgment, the son failed. Brought reproach on his family. Yet thoughts of his father's love led him home. Remember Luke 15, verse 18 and 20. He said, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. But remember where he was. He found himself in the pig pen, eating what he's feeding the hogs, or ready to eat. He remembered his father. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Put a robe on him, a ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf, made a feast. This illustrates to us a father's love, care, and concern for his child. Such accounts teach us very vividly about a father's love. Our father has that kind of love for us. Fatherhood, the Lord's gift. Fathers to be honored and respected. Because God placed on him an awesome responsibility. A task that calls for judgment, discretion, and a lot of backbone. Father has to stand up and say no, and mean no, in face of all kind of opposition, whining and crying, and begging and pleading. But he still has to say no. He has to have that kind of strength of character. Honor and respect comes much easier to the child whose father has shouldered his God-given responsibilities. Children will not respect a father that does not have a backbone. They just won't do it because that respect has not been earned. Fathers must realize the needs of a child to have roots and wings. I read this somewhere. Roots ground children, giving stability and strength. Wings allow them to soar, seeing beyond the worldly temporal allurements and providing them with vision for tomorrow and eternity through the light of God's Word. But the trick is knowing when to allow them to have roots, give them the strength, the determination to put down deep roots, to hold them in place, and then knowing when to let them soar. Fathers have to have a great deal of wisdom. Our Father has all wisdom. None are fatherless who are members of the Lord's family. Remember what our Lord said in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 29? Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the gospel. But he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, the world to come, eternal life. Our Father will provide for us if we give him the honor and respect that he so richly deserves. Are you and am I giving our Father, the God of heaven, the respect that he rightfully deserves? Are we honoring him by giving ourselves completely and totally to his will, allowing him to discipline us, to bring us into line, into compliance with his will in all things? Fathers have that responsibility to their children. Our Father has demonstrated his ability to do that for his children, but it takes willing submission. Remember the prodigal son? The father was willing to allow him to go, as we would say, to do his own thing, but the father remained concerned about him. Had a great love for him, just as our Father does. It may be that there are some in the audience today that have never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ and as a result been added to the family of God. You can do that this morning by believing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, repenting of your sin, confessing your faith in him, then being immersed in water for the remission of your sin. The Lord then will add you to his church. That's his family, the house of God. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you realize that you have left your spiritual family, you need to return seeking your father's forgiveness as well as your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you need to do that, why not do so? It's together we stand and sing for your encouragement.